Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have been discussing chapter 10, Vibhuti Yoga, Yoga of Divine Glories. So as we have discussed, the glories are the perceptible attributes of a person or an organization or a thing or a being. I can describe that person or that organization by the attributes. This person, you can say, is very tall, he is very fair. All these are perceptible by others and therefore validate that person's existence. Bhagavan started this chapter saying, I'm not known by the devas. I'm also not known to Maharishis. Because I'm the source of all those beings. Devas and Maharishis, even though they are very sattvic and they have divine qualities, but they have no capabilities to know me because I'm the source of them all. And then Bhagavan continued and said, however, those who know me as unborn and beginningless, Lord of all the beings, all the world, Loka Maheshwaram, they have overcome delusion and they are free from all sins. There is a way. It may not be your normal way of knowing things. Normal way I know things through my perception. I see things, I hear things, I touch things, I taste things, I smell things. Bhagavan said none of them are valid here. You will not be able to see me, you will not be able to hear me, you will not be able to touch me, you will not be able to smell me, taste me. It's not possible. And therefore, these Maharishis and Devas cannot know me through their intellect and their minds. But in the core of their being, they come to the realization that this source of all beings is unborn. It is the fundamental source of all things and being. There is nothing before that. Those who come to that conclusion, they overcome this delusion. This delusion is, if I see an effect, there has to be a cause. So when I see an effect, I assume there was a cause preceded this effect coming into being. So this jagat I see, I want to see its cause. But what is the cause of the cause for this universe is a mystery. But if you realize it, then you will become undeluded. And then you will be freed from all your sins. You know, all the misunderstanding, misconceptions you have about your own self, you'll be freed from that. And then Bhagavan proceeded by saying, okay, having said that, I should give you some means to vouch for my existence. This is not just a bluffery. This is something I can vouch for it if I have some perceptible indications of this divine Lord. So then Bhagavan enumerated 20 qualities which we have seen. Buddhi, Jnanam, Asammoha, Kshama, Satyam, Dhammasama. Which if you then take it, it encompasses everything that we experience in this world, including bhaya and abhaya, you know, sukha and dukkha, all my experiences and all my perceptions are included in this list. The Bhagavan said, when you experience these positive qualities in beings, know that I'm present because these qualities emanate from me. Buddhi, the understanding, knowledge, non-delusion, forgiveness, these are positive qualities and they come from me. Even the bhaya and abhaya, both are positive qualities for me to exist as who I am. However, we have this big question about where all the evil tendencies come from. And Bhagavan has very clearly said, I only exist and therefore there cannot be another source of evil. If there is source other than divinity for evil, then that source is equally powerful as the source for all the divine qualities. And if you take that premise that only Bhagwan exists and no other entity exists, there cannot be a source of evil other than the one all-pervading entity. Therefore, the explanation is these qualities manifest through being only because of their non-identification with their divine self. When I don't identify with my divine self, then I have this jealousy and greed and all these negative tendencies I will manifest. Just as there is nothing called darkness, it's just lack of light. There's nothing called cold, just lack of heat. But we experience the non-existence of heat as cold. We experience non-existence of light as darkness. We consider that an existence by itself. These negative qualities like jealousy, greed, they are indicating the absence of good qualities. The Bhagavan said, when you see these qualities, you should know that I exist. And then he gave us the theory of creation, how this world comes into being. He said, in the beginning I created. The Sapta Rishis, four Sanat Kumaras and 14 Manus, they are all created by my mind, the projection of my mind. Samadbhava manasa jata. They are created by me, born of my mind. So in the beginning he said, I projected these beings, esham lokah imaha prajaha, and from them are these creatures in the world originated. In a very succinct way, Bhagavan described the macrocosm and microcosm. So from a macrocosmic perspective, as we have seen, Brahman plus Maya is Ishvara. Brahman associated with cosmic buddhi and cosmic ego projects this universe. So these seven rishis, as we have seen, Swamiji explains as five fundamental elements, tanmatras. So the Sanskrit word tanmatra, tat matra, that alone exists. That means they're the fundamental entities in physical world. These five tanmatras in their primordial state and mahat, the cosmic intellect and cosmic ego project this world. From this entire jagat, every individual creates his or her own world through his own chitta. The chitta has four aspects, mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. At the microcosmic level, I have all these four to project my own world. So my world is created out of my mind, your world is created out of your mind. And when you put all these individual minds together, including the minds of sentient and insentient things and beings, even the rudimentary mind at the plant level or even at bacteria level or whatever you want to call it. Any mind that exists in this world and any ego in the sense that which thinks I exist as an individual is an ego. That when you all put together, it creates the cosmic mind and the cosmic intellect. And Bhagavan said, I created from my mind all the seven rishis, the seven fundamental ingredients to project this world out of my Maya. Maya is the material cause. Brahman is the efficient cause. Maya is the material cause. Both together make Ishvara. When Brahman is associated with Maya, he creates this Jagat. He is the Ishvara and he remains in control of his Maya. When individual, when he or she projects his world through his or her mind, he's in the sway of Maya, and therefore he's in the delusion that he exists as an island by itself or himself. So we have seen that Bhagavan created this narration of how this world comes into being at an individual level and at the macrocosmic level. And then he says, Etam vibhutam yogam cha mama yo vetti tatvataha sa avikampena yogena yujyate na atra sansayaha. These vibhutis of mine, representations of mine which are described, those 20 qualities, and yogam cha, and my yoga maya. How this come into being, these qualities, how they project in this world, this power of my maya, one who knows both of them in their essence. In their essence, in a sense, they all come from the same source. All the seven ingredients which create my world, your world, his world, her world, and the world at the universal level, the source is one and the same. Source of my world and source of your world is the same consciousness which makes my mind function. So Bhagavan said, Vivatti Tattvata, who knows in essence that they are one and the same. At the microcosmic level and macrocosmic level. At the micro level, at my individual level, and at Ishvara's level, the source is one and the same. So, avikampena yogena yujyate. He gets established in unshakable yoga. Yoga is to connect. To connect means to identify. I identify with myself as this individual. That's my yoga. That's my samadhi. But Bhagavan said, this is shakable because I do not know who I am. I'm always in doubt who I am. I'm also always in doubt who the God is, who is the creator of my being is. So I'm always vacillating between, I think this is true, then maybe this is true, maybe that's true. Maybe the consciousness is emerging out of the physical reality. No, the physical reality is there because of my consciousness. I'm always in the doubt. But once you're one who understands these two, my vibhutis and my maya, in its essence, will be established in unshakable yoga. You'll be always in that firm conviction, what is the fundamental reality. Na atra sansaya. Bhagavan says, there is no doubt about it. Once you understand these two, my vibhutis and my yoga, then you'll be established in that unshakable yoga. In Vedantic term, we call it Jivan Mukti. We call it realization. You come to that realization, that final understanding of the truth, if you understand these two, the Vibhuti and Yoga, the Maya. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. Once again, the statement, what to be understood by this pursuit. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha Mattaha Sarva Pravartate. This fundamental truth, if you know, that the source of everything is one and the same. That aham, that supreme self, is the source of all that thing. Aham sarva pravartate, and everything comes out, evolves from me. Fundamental entity is supreme being, and the world of plurality which I experience evolves from that fundamental entity. As Swamiji explains, from mud, all the mud pots evolve, from gold, all gold ornaments evolve. So everything in this world, sentient, insentient, evolved from the same source. And Bhagavan said, Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Having understood this, having matva, having come to this conclusion that this is the reality, that everything evolves from the same source. Buddha, the wise people, bhava samanvitaha, with their complete identification. Well, that translation, with love. Love is nothing but identification. So when that identification is complete, those wise people worship me. Worship me in a sense, they fully identify with me because of that understanding that everything evolves from the same source. And then Bhagavan says, Matchitta madgat prana bodhayantaha parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tusyanti cha ramanti cha. This is actually is a statement of fact at the same time, an exercise for all of us how to worship the Lord. They said, matchitta, mind absorbed in me. In other words, mind is fully identified with that fact, that source of everything is one and the same. Even though I may be engaged in my daily activities, that one constant thought behind every thought that emerges from my mind is that the source of all my thoughts is one and the same as the thoughts of all the beings in this world. Madgat pranaha, and their existence, the life that they experience through their physical existence, they attribute that to the Supreme Self. Then my existence is not separate from that Supreme Self. Bodhayantaha parasparam. This is like continuing education. There is a doubt that if I don't practice it, then I may be shaken from my understanding. But if I find the similar types of people, devotees, and then we can confirm that for each other, which is what we are doing right now in Gita class. Bodhayantaha parasparam. It's not that one person is giving sermon to others, but my understanding and your understanding were confirming for each other that yes, what you think is right because I'm experiencing the same thing. Bodhayantaha parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tusyanti cha ramanti cha. They are describing their own beliefs and understanding and convictions that the source of all things and beings is one and the same, whom we call God, Ishvara, Brahman, whatever you want to call it, one and the same. We are all manifestations of the same reality. We are confirming each other's conviction and also describing each other what we think the reality is. Sutusyanti cha ramanti cha. And they're getting content with their understanding, getting satisfied with that understanding. And ramanti cha, and delighting in it. They're reveling in it. Swamiji explains here that in Upanishad the word is kridanti cha ramanti cha is replaced with tusyanti cha ramanti cha. Kridanti is to play, you know, play with it. Tusyanti is to satisfy with it. So Bhagavan said, those who have fully understood this, and they are in constant satsang with other people who have the similar understanding, they are reinforcing these ideas in each other's mind by discussing and getting satisfied that the truth which I have realized is the final truth. And they are delighting in it. So this is an exercise, Bhagavan says, is the power of satsang. Without this, there may be a danger that we may come to the conclusion that maybe that was just a fluke idea I had, or maybe the reality is something else. To avoid this, Bhagavan said that you should have this satsang. You should constantly reaffirm this idea with others and reconfirm their understanding of the reality of the truth. And Bhagavan said, how I will help you in the verse 10, Tesam satat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam mam upayanti te. So here comes the Bhagavan's role in making us realize the truth. This is something like what we have heard, something which you desire so intently and love so dearly that puri kainat will help you achieving that. The entire nature will help you achieving that. If you want something so intently and so dearly, if you love something so intently, the nature will help you achieve that. The same idea, Bhagavan says, Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Those who are constantly established in this knowledge, in this understanding, that the source of all things and beings is one and the same, the Supreme Self, is pervading through this entire universe, including my own self. Bhajatam priti purvakam, and worshipping me with love. We have discussed many, many times, worship is nothing but to identify, and priti, love, is nothing but identification. So here everything is about identification. If I identify with that Supreme Self, and that becomes the fundamental, the background thought in all my thinking. It's like I don't have to keep remembering that I am who I am when I'm doing my thing, my day-to-day life, because I'm establishing the fact that this is who I am. When I sing a song, I have to make sure that I am in that Shruti, in the scale. But I don't have to think about that all the time, about what Shruti I'm singing. But while singing, that thought is constant that this song has to be in that scale. If I deviate from that, it will not be very pleasant. Doing every activity, if I keep that thought that my source of all my existence and my accomplishment is the one and the same, then Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Bhagavan said, I'll give you this Buddhi Yoga. I'll connect you with this supreme intellect, which will make you realize, make you steadfast in this understanding. Tam enam mam upayantite. Having understood that, you will be able to achieve my own self. You will become my own self. This Buddhi Yoga is the realization. This yoga of fully understanding the truth is Buddhi Yoga. The Bhagavan says, that's my job. Your job is to purify your mind and intellect and clearly realize the source of all things and beings is the Supreme Self. Then I will make you realize your own freedom from the limitations, and you will become one with me. You will drop this identification with this limited being that you consider yourself, and you will become one with me. We'll stop right here.
If you find this podcast helpful, please support it by donating any amount by going to the episode's website at neilbhatt.podbean.com or at chinmayarichmond.org. Thank you.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.